When young people share their stories, they can change the world. But some youth voices still go unheard. Join me, Janessa Fisher.
And me, Brian Johnson, for this youth-led monthly interview series as young people tell their untold stories of experiences with homelessness, foster care, disabilities, teen parenting, and more.
Each conversation will uncover stories of hope, strength from our youth storytellers who want to share the best ways that we can all support youth in similar situations as theirs. If you want to know how to do better for youth or simply just be inspired, this is your show. Every youth has a story to tell.
Are you ready to listen?
And welcome back to Youth Voice Amplified, the podcast where every youth is heard and every voice matters. Happy New Year to all our listeners. I'm your host, Janessa.
And I'm Brian. Today's episode features a youth who has faced multiple adversities throughout her life, but also manages to keep pushing forward. Her story is nothing short of inspiring as she shares her story of hope, strength, and resilience.
On today's podcast, we are honored to welcome Jo as our special guest. She shares her inspiring journey with us, starting from her early experiences of homelessness and foster care to now as she builds a brighter future for herself and her own family and making a positive impact on her community.
Her story is one of resilience, transformation, and the pursuit of happiness against all odds. This is a powerful episode, and we know it will leave you inspired. Now, please enjoy our conversation with Jo.
Jo, welcome to Youth Voice Amplified Podcast. We are so happy to have you on.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for coming. We'd like our listeners to get to know you better. What is your New Year's resolution?
You know what's funny is I don't really have a New Year's resolution. I pretty much start my months different sometimes. So if I want to do, like, let's say, not eat healthy, because I just do it day by day, but like if I want to go to the gym or I want to go start taking daily walks, I'll probably start any month that comes, I'll probably start the first day and I'll just try to keep up to it. But other than that, like, I just like to change the end of my years with something different. I don't like to start it different. I like to end it with a good, powerful, different something.
Thank you for that.
I like that, honestly. We also like to ask our guests, what does Youth Voice mean to you?
So Youth Voice means to me, everybody is their own person. You know, everybody's validated. So having a voice, it has a lot of meaning to it. It started with my mom. With my mom, she raised me very, very mature for a young age. So she always told me, you know, a closed mouth never gets fed. Speak up for yourself. And if you see somebody's going through something or they're being mistreated, if you see that they can't speak up for themselves, you could probably do it for them.
We really appreciate your willingness to come on our podcast and show your story. Can you please start by telling us a little bit about growing up and what your childhood was like?
So I feel like I had a good childhood to begin with. I have a really good memory. So like I remember from like the age of 3, honestly. My childhood, it was really good. My mother, she was a CO when I was little. So I was always being taken care of by my aunt, my tia. So
you said she was a CO growing up, so, and you were raised pretty much by a lot of other family members. Was it because she was working so much?
Yes, she was always doing overtime. My dad was always in and out of jail, so she was pretty much a single mom. But yeah, when it came to my mom needing somebody to take care of me, it was always family. It was always her sisters. So I got really close to a lot of my family individually. And I feel like I really did, like, have a really good childhood. But then sometimes there's, like, different turns, you know, like, different memories of certain things with, like, my mom. She was a CEO, but she wasn't a CEO for very long. So during that time, she was struggling. She started her drug use and kind of forgetting.
You're okay.
So it sounds like even though your mom kind of was in and out of there, you had a lot of family connection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's one thing with my mom. She, well, actually my Nana, she always made an example of family. Family is very important. I have a lot of cousins. Like I have like maybe about 12. Because my Nana, she had 7 kids. We would all get together, have family reunions, you know. So yeah, it was family first to begin with. By my mom, she made that a priority as well.
Seems like that's something you still hold value to today.
Yes, I do.
Homelessness and foster care at such a young age can have a profound impact on someone's identity and outlook on life. How did those experiences that you had growing up personally affect you?
It was different. We were raised not knowing any of that. So finding out my dad was homeless ever since I knew him, I never understood what it was like. I was raised in a home where my Nana would take care of me. If my mom wasn't there, my Nana was my mom. So with the homelessness, I never knew what it was like to be alone. You know, I never knew what it was like to struggle because my Nana always made sure that we were well taken care of. And with the foster system, foster care, that was a complete turnaround. I guess you could say I took a risk, as in I literally put myself in the system. I didn't know what was coming to me, honestly. Sometimes I take a risk. And I guess I started at a very young age. And I guess you could say I liked a challenge, but at that time that was different. I didn't know what was ahead of me. And at the age of 15, I believe I was 15 when I came in the system. And it was a whole different turnaround. I never knew what it was like to see kids struggle and to see kids, like, you know, hear certain things. So, and I started to open my mind a lot more in to try to understand people, you know, at least people my age, because I grew up very emotional. I was a very emotional person, never knew why. But I guess you could say throughout the years growing up, I've taken advantage of that. I've taken advantage of having a voice, taken advantage of being a very emotional person, being outgoing, having an open mindset, because when somebody walks up to you, it's kind of like they need to talk to somebody. Some people don't know what to say. And I guess you could say some of the people that I've came across, some foster youth that are homeless as well, I could relate to both, just the foster system, but also homelessness as well. Going through all of that at a young age, especially with my mom, I became homeless. I just wanted to be with my mom. I just wanted to be with my parents. I was tired of living with family, tired of being pushed around, being told what to do when it wasn't from my mom and dad. So it's just having an outlook on all of that, it was a complete turnaround to begin with. Just stepping my foot in Jameson, I knew I was going to change from there because I didn't know what was ahead of me.
You mentioned that you put yourself in the system. Can you elaborate on that situation?
So it was my sophomore year. I believe it was like maybe, 2013, I believe. But sophomore year, I just wanted to go to school. You know, I was in a very dark, depressive state at that time, and I wanted to be around people. I didn't want to hear silence in a room. I always wanted, like, noise around me. My ex at the time, his mom allowed me to stay there, you know, and I was there for 2 days, and it just felt so long. And those 2 days were the first 2 days of high school. And I didn't want to be stuck in the mud. I didn't want to think about nothing but negative. So what I wanted to do is I kept calling my mom. She wouldn't pick up. She couldn't come back and, you know, take me to school. So it was kind of like I didn't care at the time. I just wanted to see where it would take me, just to go to school and try to enroll myself. I had no parent guardian, no adult. It was just me by myself. And when I went, the vice principal, she was like, "You need a guardian, you know?" And I'm like, "Well, I don't have a guardian here, and I'm not talking to my family," as I just got into it, like, I believe a week or two before with one of my family members. And I just wanted to be alone. I wanted to be far away from my family. And they were like, "I'm sorry, but you can't. We just can't do that." And I'm like, "Well, I don't know what to tell you. I just want to be here. I just want to be with my friends." And they would ask me, like, you know, "Is there a guardian like I could call?" They seen my emergency contacts. So they called my Nana. And from then on out, I literally thought my Nana was going to come and take me home, you know. But she ended up sending one of her sons. And I got into it really bad with him at the time. And I couldn't look at him. So when he walked in the principal's office, I turned away. I take words to heart. You know, my mom always told me, you know, you need to watch what you say because words can hurt really bad. And so whatever he told me, I took it to heart. And he was like, "Just come home. You know, I'll take you home, this and that, but you're not allowed to bring your boyfriend around," because I was a minor. I was 15 with the 18-year-old, you know. But mentally, he was like my age, so I didn't see any wrong in it. And my mom thought it was fine. So if my mom says it's fine to me. What's your problem with it, you know? So he was like, "Come on, I'll bring you home. You know, you'll come live with me, but you can't bring him." And I'm like, "I'd rather go to Jameson than go home with you." And I know that struck to the core. I had no clue what the system was like, where I was gonna go, you know, that day. But I had so much hurt with this person, and just living in a household, being told what to do, it didn't feel good to me. You know, I felt like the black sheep, the outcast of the family. I was tired of it. So I just wanted to go my own way. 15 years old, you're not supposed to think like that, you know? But I took the risk, I didn't care. And I felt like, deep down inside, I felt like something was gonna change. But I was always told, you have to go through the storm before you get to the rainbow. So with all that, yeah, I mean, I tried enrolling myself in school. Didn't work out. So they ended up trying to tell me, you have your Nana to pick you up, but you don't wanna go. You know, like, the only option for you to leave this, like, office, this school, is you either go with a family member or you go to Jameson. You know, it's foster care. I was like, I'd rather go anywhere else besides going with my family. And I literally went at 8 in the morning, and I stood till like 5-6 in the afternoon. They held me until one of the social workers came to pick me up. But that day I was like, am I able to go to church tonight? It was a Wednesday night. And they're like, no, I'm sorry, you can't go. And I was like, I need to go to church. Like, that was one of the things that made me, like, flip out, you know, because I tried making church a priority, and I guess I couldn't go. And I was like, you know what, I did this to myself. I'm just gonna have to just go through it and see what happens. Whenever I get out, I'll go to church that same Sunday or Wednesday. That's how I literally went in the system. I put myself there.
Can you tell us what going to school was like when you were experiencing homelessness and foster care? Were there any supports or obstacles you encountered specifically?
When I was homeless, I literally would walk, and this is every day, you know, I was homeless, because I stood in a certain area. It was far from my school. So I did the walk. My mom walked with me, you know, like, we didn't care. I just wanted to go to school. Dealing with that, I was able to take showers. So it was pretty much like I was couch surfing at friends' house, you know. But I only knew them because my mom was doing her substances with those parents. So that's how I got to know the kids, you know. But being homeless and going to school, to look back at it, some people are very embarrassed. Not some, majority all of them, you know. They're very embarrassed, and they think automatically people will look down on them and be like, damn. You know, like, I feel like I went through that. Like, right when I would tell somebody I was homeless, they're like, what? Where's your parents at? I'm like, I don't know. And I would just cut it there, you know, because they're already looking at me like, what the hell? You know, like, you're growing up in an irresponsible home, you know, wherever you're at. But being homeless, going to school, I literally had one of my teachers, he was my first period history, and I was late, like, a couple of days, you know. There was a time being where I was late, and I would pull him aside after class, you know, and explain to him why I'm late and tell him, you know, I'm homeless. I have to walk all the way, you know, from the trailer park to school. And he looked at me like, are you serious? You know, because I was always a jokester in class. I was always a comedy. I wouldn't be quiet, you know. But that was me masking my hurt and my situations and everything I was going through. That's why I didn't want to be alone, you know, because when I was alone, I had my thoughts, you know. I was an overthinker. I still am to this day, but I try to switch it around. And my teacher, he paused and he didn't know what to say. And I guess someone gave him a lunch pack. And I was talking to him outside, and he went inside and he gave it to me. I was like, you didn't have to do that, you know, like, this is for you. And there I go. I felt like, you know, I was belittled, but it wasn't by him. I know he was doing good for me. And that was literally the only teacher that knew I was homeless. And he, ever since then, he kind of laid back on me a little bit. You know, like, he kind of wasn't so strict on me. He's like, you know, Joe, I don't know what it's like to be homeless, but I know there's a lot of kids that struggle. And I give you props for even trying to come to school. Those kids, they'll just give up. You know, and he's like, there's something different with you. I could see it, you know. And at the time, I'm like, nah, you know, like, I'm just a jokester, you know. I didn't take anything by it. But when he gave me that lunch pack, I'm like, wow. So there is good people out there. And it's just, when people do good for others that are going through difficult obstacles, they're trying to do good, but that person on the other end, I don't really know how to deal with that. I say thank you, but it feels embarrassing, you know. And when I went in the system, I was obviously away for a little bit, so my credits were like dropping. And when I went back to school, I didn't know. Like, I was always an open book. Yeah, I'm a foster kid, you know, like, I don't care, you know, but the homeless part was different. Now, being in the system, I didn't know, like, that there was so much kids secretly holding it, you know, like, that they don't live with their parents. They, you know, they live with somebody different that's not even in their family. I didn't know any of that until I opened up to, he was like an acquaintance. We didn't really talk that much, but he like hung around with some of my friends in the group. So he heard me say that, you know, I was a foster kid. And he was like, he pulled me aside and it was just me and him. And he was quiet. He's like, you're a foster kid? You're in the system? I was like, yeah. I was like, I mean, this is all new to me. He's like, hey, you know, don't worry about it. He's like, I'm a foster kid too. I'm like, what? Really? I was so naive. I was like, I wouldn't have known. Like, of course, people hide it really good, you know? So when he told me that, I kind of felt some type of relief. And ever since then, like, me and him, we were, like, talking a little bit. We kind of had a connection, and I started to think, like, wow, I'm not alone. I'm really not alone. It's just kids, they feel like that they have to, like, keep it to themselves, you know? I mean, it's nobody's business, but a lot of people feel embarrassed about it.
Hey there, amazing listeners. Before we continue, we want to take a moment to recognize all the young people out there who have triumphed over adversity. You know who you are.
Our Youth Voice Amplified podcast is all about celebrating the strength and resilience of young people like you. We believe your experiences can inspire and empower others who might be facing similar challenges.
So if you have a story to tell and want to be a guest on our show, don't hesitate to get in touch with us. You can find us on Instagram at Youth Voice Amplified Podcast or drop us an email in the youthvoiceamplified@gmail.com.
Together, let's amplify your voice and share the power of your journey. Remember, your voice matters and your story can change lives. We can't wait to hear from you and share your remarkable story with the world.
Thank you for being a part of our Youth Voice Amplified community.
Now let's get back to our episode.
With you being a former homeless youth, were you like scared that somebody will find out your situation without you telling them or anything?
Being homeless?
Yes.
Honestly, I no. I guess you could say no, because I was riding my BMX bike down the street. Like, I was going to my uncle's to get my stuff, you know, and if somebody asked me where I'm going, I'm like, hey, I'm just going to get my stuff from my uncle's. So I wasn't really scared. I was always been an open book, and I got it from my mom. She told on herself too, so.
What motivated you to keep pushing forward and striving despite the challenges that you faced?
The motivation? Honestly, I don't know. I think by me going to church, I look back at it now and it meant a lot to me, you know, it meant a lot to me because I was able to cry, you know, in a room, like, there's other people that are hurting in any type of way. Going by myself, it was okay, but having a friend with me, it felt even better because I didn't feel alone. So I just needed company. I needed any type of company, and church was one of them.
Was there anyone in your life that helped you when you needed it most?
There's actually a lot. There is a good amount. One of my mom's friends took me in when I went in the system. She was my first foster mom. So she did a lot. She showed a lot within those couple months I was living with her. My Nana was my most supportive out of all of it. You know, she was very quiet, was very sweet, you know, kept to herself. But when it came to me, like, my Nana was there all the time. She put a roof over my head. She fed me. She gave me a bed, you know. So it was my main support was my Nana.
Joe, your story is inspiring. What does your life look like now?
Oh, it looks good. And my old self would think it looks too good. But I'm a mother of two boys, a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old. Their father, he's in the picture, you know, we've been together for 6 years. Right now, I'm the only one working, so I think that's where it keeps me afloat right now, is I'm taking care of my family. Now I know I am able to do it on my own if I really needed to, you know? So we have our own apartment, you know, we're trying to move up, we're trying to get a house later. Yeah, it's just life's doing good. I actually am the complete opposite of how I was when I was 15. And I honestly was scared because I didn't think I would make it this far. You know, I was scared more to be a parent, to be a mom, because I was fearful of repeating what my mom and dad did. But I think by me seeing what they did and they made that example for me, my mom always told me, I did drugs so you wouldn't. You know, like, my mom has always had those type of mind games, like, I did drugs, so you better stay away from them, you know, like, and I never heard anybody talk like that. But, yeah, my life's doing good. My mom's finally in recovery. You know, I believe she's 2 months clean right now. My dad, I just found out he got locked up, so, but he's going to be getting out, and I just want to be there, you know. I just want to be there because he was always there for me. At least he tried to be. I always told my mom, I'll take good care of you when I was little. And I don't know why I said that, but I think my little soul at the time knew I was capable of anything if I wanted to. So everything's going good. It's going great. I'm thanking God for that. You know, I wake up every day and I'm not stressed about going to work because I love my job. You know, it's a good job. I'm grateful for everything. And my job is transportation. So I transport packages. And every day, every car ride, I'm dancing in my car, playing my music. I don't care. I am so happy. I'm doing good in life right now. And when I was younger, I was too scared to dance. You know, my Nana, she would always get me. And I was the only one that, like, she was the only one I would dance with. So now it's kind of like, I could be on the freeway. I could be in the street. I could be walking, I don't care. I have my headphones in, I'm dancing. I'm not looking for attention. I am making myself feel better about myself. And every day that goes by, I get more excited. Life's going good.
We love to hear it.
Thank you for sharing that with us. What is one goal that you have for yourself in the future?
One goal for my future, right now I know I'm doing good, but I want to do better. But goal for my future is, honestly, getting a house. Yeah, I have a lot of goals, honestly. I have too much, but...
Would you say that would be your main goal for now?
Yeah, yeah. It's getting out of our apartment where we're at. We're just, yeah.
That is a good goal.
Doing better for our kids, so...
That's amazing.
Joe, it's clear that you've come a long way from a very difficult past and have built a loving family of your own. Can you share any of the turning points and moments or people that have helped you become the person you are today?
Coming in the system, I've came across a lot of people that are just so uplifting, and to know that I'm not the only one going through whatever I went through. I have a lot of supporters. When my mom was in recovery years ago, she got custody back of me when I turned 17. So all the adults, she was a live-in house mom. So it was nothing but girls. And all the women, some of them were my age. Some of them were older, and they would always tell me, keep doing what you're doing. And I could see you have a lot in your life right now. And my main thing was anger. My main thing was anger, for sure. Anger and grudges. Whenever somebody acted a certain way with my mom, like, I would try so hard to hold back, you know, because I don't want her to get fired. And I would see some women there, they would, I guess you could say they would observe me during the moment. And they would pull me aside and be like, Joe, you know, like, you're better than this. Don't be like us. Do not be like us. Go above and beyond. You know, you're young. You're bright. You're beautiful. Go out in the real world. You know, go out in the world and make a difference. Do something with yourself. So it's obviously adults. Like, I think that's why I've matured so fast. And I'm 25. So being around adults, even when I was younger, I was always around my aunts and uncles. Hearing grown-up conversations. So it's just, yeah, it's my mom and my dad is my main support right now too.
Looking back, what are some of the highlights or accomplishments that you are most proud of today?
Becoming a mom. At the time, I wasn't doing good. Mentally, I was just surviving, you know. I was worried. Giving birth to my kid, my firstborn, I was nervous, you know, because I had depression and anxiety, and I was just so angry. But I think by me becoming a mom, it has matured me completely, you know, a lot. My sons, they've helped me. And I never understood when people would say, some people would say, like, you know, my kids saved me. They saved me. When I was, you know, when I wasn't a mom yet, I was like, I don't know how they would save you, you know, like, in both delivery rooms, I was crying, I was bawling. Like, I literally felt like something was awakening me, and I'm bawling because I just didn't know what it was. Like, having my firstborn, it was bittersweet. I did everything natural, nothing, you know, like, no drugs, nothing. And I was pushing for over an hour, and when he was born, it was like, and this sucks to say, because in that moment, I felt like, is he really mine? I've went through so much in my life. Having a kid, that's a blessing. That's a blessing. And I'm just like, what if he gets taken away from me? You know, like all these thoughts in my head. And I was the type of person that I didn't want to get close right away because I felt like I would be hurt. But how can I be hurt by my own kid? You know, so I'm like, just quit thinking like that. Becoming a mom has helped so much. And I love my kids. I would do anything for them. I am. I'm doing everything for them right now, honestly. And they're the ones that brought me alive.
What do you wish people understood about youth experiencing homelessness? So it can be some common misconceptions, some myths that are true or commonly untrue. What are some things that you feel like people should know about youth experiencing homelessness?
Cut them some slack, honestly. I mean, there's a time to be strict, but there's a time to be sensitive at the same time. Try to understand, you know, like, take a step back. If you had a good childhood, just at least try to put yourself in their shoes. But if your childhood was difficult, only imagine being homeless as a kid. Put yourself in their shoes. I feel like that's the only way someone is able to understand is if they channel something. Like, if that person is emotional, how would they feel? You know, if they were homeless, struggling to try to go to school every day. Not everybody's life is perfect. Not everybody's life is even close to being perfect. But I think teachers especially, they need to keep an eye out and to not be so stern, I guess. I mean, there's a time to be stern, but there's a time to be sensitive with kids as well, you know. And
it sounds like you want more people who experience homeless youth and come across them to be more empathetic,
yeah,
and have more compassion for them.
Exactly.
What would you say to youth who are currently going through the same situations you did? Like, what words of wisdom would you share with them?
Don't take life so serious. Honestly, you take life too serious, I don't think you're really going to see the good in life, you know. Take it moment by moment, not day by day. And I just told my therapist this yesterday. I have to take moment by moment. If I had so much anger at a young age, taking day by day, I could lash out at any minute. But in my mind, I say take moment by moment. Because if something bad happens, you think in that moment how you're going to react. And that's literally how I've been dealing with a lot lately for like the past 2 years, honestly. Past year, I just say take moment by moment.
That's wonderful advice.
Joe, before we wrap things up, we'd like to ask you, do you have a life motto?
Life motto. Don't regret time. As in, don't regret like meeting somebody later than you felt like you should have. Honestly, don't regret being a good person. Don't regret doing good for people that take advantage of you, you know, because that's just you.
I like that.
It's a good motto.
Thank you, Joe, for sharing your story and your journey and your wisdom with us. You have turned the challenges you went through into a force of good. You are giving back and spreading positivity and making a real difference in the lives of others.
I would like to thank you as well for sharing your story with us and sharing it with our listeners as well. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you so much for having me.
What a wonderful guest. I absolutely love Joe. She is just such a force to be reckoned with. She reminds me of one of my powerful mentors, Allison. She brings that energy and that compassion, but also the fierceness behind it.
I love the episode as well. And one of the things I really put in perspective for me, a lot of people say things about the foster system and how it kind of wasn't the best for them. But that was the turning point for her. Even though she said that she put her own self in there, it really changed her perspective about things in life. So I really appreciate that perspective.
I agree. A lot of people do give the foster system a lot of bad rep and say like it was part of the worst part of their lives. But for Joe, I feel like she really used it as a stepping stool to become a better person and someone who really takes control of their life.
I also loved her moment by moment, because you hear all the time, take it day by day, you know, but she lives in moments. That was powerful to me.
I agree. This was such a wonderful episode, and I hope you guys enjoy it as much as we did. Well, that's it for this episode of Youth Voice Amplified. If you enjoyed what you heard and want to support the show, please take a moment and rate us and leave us a positive review on your favorite podcast player. It'll help us spread awareness to podcasts and find new listeners.
And if you're looking for our show notes or recommended resources for any of our episodes, please visit our website at www.kern.org/YVA. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, or would like to recommend a topic or a guest, you can email us at youthvoiceamplified@gmail.com.
Join us for our next episode when Brian and I sit down with our next youth storyteller.
And we out of here.
Youth Voice Amplified is a youth-led project of the Kern County Superintendent of Schools Office, created, produced, and hosted by Janessa Fisher and Brian Johnson, with writing, research, and additional production support by Kim Silva, Allison Baptiste, and the Kern Educational Television Network. Major funding for the Youth Voice Amplified podcast is provided by the Student Achievement and Support Division of the California Department of Education through the Homeless Innovative Program Grant. Thanks for listening.